Chapter number 14. We probably messed up Jeff trying to. Could you pick up any of that with a micro? I turned the microphone there. The live streaming. Not sure how to do that. Romans chapter number 15. We've been in this week, and I had a blessing this week that I had to take a little trip down memory lane, and that's what we're going to do here in a moment with the Apostle Paul, but. What day was it? Thursday, I guess it was, that I was able to run up to the church that I wasn't saved there, but I was saved as a result of their ministry and baptized there and grew up and got there a little bit before the chapel service that they asked me to preach at, and I went into the auditorium, the main auditorium, and the lights were off, but I was just looking around. You could see enough to remember all those tears that were shed at that altar, and the prayers, God's people, and the love that I experienced there the first time walking with God. And I was saved about that time, just shortly after that building was built. The new building, old building now, but I think I was one of the first few people baptized in the building, and my wife and I met there and were married there, and just how God's been so good. And I think of that, thinking of what I want to talk about tonight in Romans chapter number 15. I want to read a rather lengthy section of the chapter. In fact, the testimonies tonight, I want to read the whole chapter, but we won't do that. We'll start about the middle of it, verse number 20, and read to the end of the chapter. So we'll let you stay seated as we read through it. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Or to say this, that sometimes we take that verse number 20 and twist it a little bit, but Paul was writing this to the church in Rome, who he'd never been there before. Of course, he is going to preach Christ where he's never been, where somebody else had established churches. So don't take that too far there. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. We've got one more trip to make to Jerusalem. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. By the way, the Jerusalem saints were mostly, of course, made up of Jews. The first church that Jesus established continued in the city of Jerusalem. They were told to scatter all over the world, but they didn't scatter. They stayed right there and built the first mega church. And God said, that's not the way it should be, so let's split this thing up. In fact, it's interesting, God used the Apostle Paul to scatter them before he was the Apostle Paul, while he was the enemy of Christ, and scattered the Christians around the world because of the persecution, which he was one of the ringleaders in that persecution. But now the Jews are suffering in great need, in dire need there. So the Gentiles now are taking an offering and sending back to the Jews, and Paul wants to make that delivery to the church in Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual blessings, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. And of course, we as Gentiles, the gospel was sent first to the Jews in the Old Testament. God raised the Jews up out of them. The Messiah came, and it came to us. But without them, we would have no gospel. We would have no Savior. So we are in debt to them. And Paul realized, the Gentiles realize that, and they want to help the Jews out. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come to you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come to you, unto you, I shall come in the fullness and the blessing of God of Christ. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me now in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy and the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Of course, the Apostle Paul, at the beginning of the book of Romans, said that he desired to visit Rome. It was his goal, his dream, his desire to visit Rome. Why did he want to go there? Because that was the capital of the Western world at that time. And he mentioned here that he'd kind of reached everywhere that God's led him here in the what we would call today the Middle East, and now he's off to Europe. And he had a desire to go there, not only there, but to go, if you look on the map, twice as far from there to Rome would be Spain. So I want to go to Spain next, and I'm making plans to get there. Not sure how I'm going to get there. Of course, Paul lived by faith. And not sure how he's going to travel. He'll stop and work along the way for a while to pay expenses. We can do that. But little did he know how he was going to get there. But he did eventually get there. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to speak on this, and this is, I guess, a title. And then we're going to make an application here in a little bit. When life doesn't take you where you plan to go, or your plans are changed. Maybe you go where you plan to go, but not on the same route that you plan to get there. And we certainly see that in Paul's life. Father, I pray that you would bless the simple thoughts tonight. Lord, that you would guide in what we say and what we hear tonight to help us in our way. Thank you for the testimonies of your people and how you're working in their lives, and what a blessing it is to know a God that's real, a God that hears and answers prayer, a God that leads us, a God that loves us, a God that redeemed us and purchased us out of our sin and out of our wickedness and picked us up and gave us a new life in Christ. And I thank you that our life is now hid in Christ through God. And thank you for your goodness and for the salvation we have in him. Pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever ask the question, maybe when you were little? I go around and ask the kids now. Where are the kids? They're all hiding. They're all in the back row. I saw some of these kids had activity books. Where'd they go? I was going to sit down there with their activity books. They go downstairs with their activities. I ask the kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Remember being asked that question? What did you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I wanted to be all kinds of things. Everybody wanted to be policemen. Everybody wanted to be a fireman, right? I'm going to slide down that pole. That's all I knew firemen did. Slide down that pole, you got to play with fire. So, man, what could be better than that? Better than climbing trees. But maybe because of the country I grew up, I wanted to be a farmer. Well, I wasn't a farmer. My dad was an electrician. No, I don't want to do that. I got older, I thought, man, that'd be kind of nice to do that. But anyways, there's a lot of things that we dream of being. And the very last thing, the farthest thing on my list would be to be a pastor. But then God changed all that and called me to preach. And I tried my best to talk him out of it. Still try once in a while. God, I told you I can't do this. I don't know what you're doing, But Paul, of course, desired to go to Rome. Paul, of course, he was an enemy of Christ when God saved him. And God changed him around completely. Changed him from being an enemy of the gospel to a preacher of the gospel. And used him in a great way. He became the apostle to the Gentiles. And, of course, he was a Jew of all Jews. He was a proud Jew. And wouldn't think of ever even talking to a Gentile, probably, let alone preaching the gospel, risking his life for the Gentiles. And Paul, of course, wanted to go to Rome. Well, he did get to go to Rome. If you read, and I was encouraged to read through the book of Acts again today, just to recount the story of Paul's life and how he desired to go to Rome, but he didn't know he was going to get a free one-way ticket to Rome. And they went back to Jude to bring to Jerusalem to bring this offering. Well, while he was in Jerusalem, he was arrested. He appealed to Caesar, and he was put on a prison ship and sent to Rome. And on that ship, he suffered shipwreck, was bitten by a venomous beast. I thought I saw a venomous beast out here as a garter snake, but they're all the same to me. If they bite me, I sure I'm going to die. Right out here, and I'm glad I took a picture because I brought my wife out here to see it, and it was gone. So, but look, I got a picture of the phone, and I'm sure it had fangs this long, and it was lurched back and ready to attack me, and I thought I could have died. I'm not going to survive. I'm not even going to get home tonight. Darling, it's the big one. No, never mind. Paul was bitten by a beast and shook it off in the fire, and everybody watched him. Oh, he's going to die. He surely must have been a guilty prisoner because the gods have turned against him and are going to kill him. But then they saw he didn't die. And he saw the fickleness of people. One minute wanted to say that he was guilty and God is judging him. The next minute they said, oh, he didn't die. He must be a god himself. They want to worship him. Oh, my. What a crazy world we live in today. But, of course, Paul did get to Rome. He spent some years there as a prisoner. He was arrested. He spent two different terms, if you will, in jail, with a space between, where a lot of historians say, and I don't know if this can be confirmed in history, there's a lot of things in Bible history that a little mixture of tradition, a little mixture of speculation, and history and scripture and theology and everything else, but some folks say between those two, there's about a year and a half or a couple of years between his first imprisonment and his second imprisonment, and he did some traveling, and many people think that he did go to Spain at that time, and then came back and was, of course, tradition, history, whatever, says that he was beheaded by Nero, a lot of things. It's kind of interesting, the mixture, and even in our day today, what is called news and science and history and theology, a lot of it comes from the internet. And that's where a lot of people get their teaching, a lot of people get their news, their understanding. I'm amazed at some of the foolishness that goes on in the name of Christianity. I wasn't even aware. I heard people joke about it. I didn't know there were real groups. In fact, I was not totally unaware that there was a group right in our community that was set on the rapture taking place last week. Oh, man, we missed it again. And they were getting plans set and changing their plans because the Lord's coming back. Some of those things, they come and go. The social media has all but destroyed America, and it's destroying churches, it's destroying families. And wait till artificial intelligence takes over. Oh boy, you think you see a mess now. But anyways, that's beside the point. Paul was, we don't know for sure of a lot of things, and again, a lot of speculation, a lot of things that I learned a long time ago to question traditions of men, because I guess the most obvious one, of course, everybody knows Peter was crucified upside down in Rome, and they built the Roman Basilica on top of where Peter was supposedly buried. The problem was, in the scripture, I don't see Peter ever going to Rome. In fact, I see him going the opposite direction. And he was a minister to the Jews, and Paul was a minister to the Gentiles. That's why he went to Rome. But never mind that. We know it's true because tradition says so. I'd rather go by what the Bible says rather than tradition. But anyways, I just say that. I say that there's a lot of speculation, a lot of questions as far as Paul. But one thing we do know, that he desired to go to Rome. He did get to Rome. Whether he made it to Spain or not, maybe did, maybe not. I'm not sure. He certainly desired to. And, of course, Paul had a relationship with God. If he wanted something, God gave it to him, right? Oh, well, I don't know about that. But I do know this. When you look at the life of Paul, he got where he desired to go, but not the way he chose to go. And sometimes we go through life and we have expectations, we have plans, we have desires. But what about when God changes our direction? We have to give God the ability to change those directions. We're so set in our ways, we don't let him. And I want to say this. I want to give you three things, and we'll be done tonight. I'm not sure. I hope this will be a help to you. And a lot of the testimonies went along this line. Subtitle or whatever. I'll let Jeff decide what the title of the message is tonight. If you're going to write it down or whatever, but give God a right to change your directions. Give God a right to change your directions. Well, how do we do that? There's three things I learned from this section of Paul's testimony of his writing and his personal note to Romans. And again, I believe Paul was a Baptist preacher because he closed his book, closed his message twice. So he closed it at the end of chapter 15, and then he closed it again. Oh, by the way, and he does that often. Here's a closing, but then, wait a minute, there's one more. Somebody quoted, quoted a verse from John. John did the same thing. He's a Baptist preacher. I'm all done. Well, wait a minute, I got another point here. Anyways, let's say this. Give God the right to change your directions. First of all, and this is a recurring theme all through the book of Romans. And I'm going to just turn to one passage of Scripture to show you this. Give God the right to change your directions by dying to yourself. By dying to yourself. And we realize this isn't my life. This is His life. Go back to Romans chapter number 12. I hope you memorize this verse, Romans chapter number 12. At least the first three verses, and I include verse number three as well. I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. It's not my life. It's His life. I talk about going back to the church where I surrendered completely to God, and the tears that were shed at that altar and the struggles of giving my life completely to God. And that's not an easy thing to do. As a young person, it's a little bit easier because you don't have much to begin with, but say, God, it's all yours. And present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. And I love verse number 3. This is the life of faith. For I say through the grace given unto me, but God, I can't do it. That's where grace kicks in. God, there's no way I could do that. And all the years of struggling and arguing, God, I can't do that. And even to this present day, God, I can't do that. But it's through the grace that God gives us, not through our life, not through our figuring it out, not through our planning and our procedures, but it's through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. When we realize I didn't do it, God did it, that makes it, puts it all in the right perspective. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every one the measure of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just give yourself to the Word of God and live by faith. Live through Him. Let His word abide in you. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. God, I want $1,000,000. Well, no, when we give ourselves to Him, His will becomes our will. There's things I've asked God for, and I know when I ask Him, God, I know You can't trust me with that. So thank You for not giving it to me. But death to ourselves, it's not what we desire. It's not our goal. And I think a big mistake that we make, especially with young people, we ask this question often, and I say that's the wrong question to ask. What do you want to do with your life? First of all, it's not my life. There's the first problem there. If you think it's your life, you've got a lot of problems because this is His life. I want to die to myself and live in Christ and let Him live through me. And then give God the right to change your directions through your death. And Romans chapter number 6 talks about that we're buried with Him. We're risen with Him. We're crucified. We're dead with Him that we might walk in newness of life. And then give God the right to change your direction through prayer. A lot of testimony of prayers tonight, and I appreciate that. Notice in chapter 15 and verse number 30, I mentioned this to the men yesterday that were here for prayer. Oh, I'd love to see God's people get serious about seeking God in prayer. In verse number 30, chapter 15, I got to find the right page. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That we strive together in prayer. I like that statement. Strive together with me in prayer. We work together. We emphasize that in the last chapter. Talked a lot about working together, getting along with each other. And boy, we emphasize that. But the only way we can do that is learn to strive together in prayer. Prayer is real. We heard testimonies of that. Prayer in our life, prayer in our families, and striving together in prayer is something that's very, very important. It's not just, well, let's do a work for God. Let's do this for God. Oh, yeah, why don't we pray while we're doing it? Why don't we have a few hours of prayer before we try to do anything? Well, that's kind of unheard of anymore, isn't it? It'd be good to get alone with God and to get together with God's people and to spend some time in prayer and united together in prayer. And back in verse number 5 and 6 of this same chapter, notice this, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye be with one mind and one mouth glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. United together in prayer, with one mind, with one heart, with one voice, with one goal. And we certainly see that in the book of Acts, but it's something that's obviously missing in our world today, and all that God's people would learn the value of praying together. Sometimes I think we ought to maybe have the Bible study time first on Wednesday night. If people can't get there for the Bible study, we should emphasize more of the prayer time. But then I guess folks would say, well, we got to come to Bible study and then go home and have supper because we can't. There's something about that. I know the devil doesn't want God's people to pray. Doesn't want God's people to pray together. What a blessing it is to pray together. Give God the right to change your directions through dying to self, through prayer, and then thirdly, through the Spirit of God. And God did take Paul to Rome. And I've noticed this, and I just saw this again this afternoon. The other two I've been thinking about a little bit all week, but this one I just saw it again this afternoon. I saw it this afternoon when I was looking through this. Paul said, hey, when I get to Rome, in fact, I like this in chapter number 1. I always notice this for years looking at the book of Romans, that Paul said, I desire to come to you, not that I could see the sights of Rome, not that I could see the capital of the world, not that I could see the palaces and the great wealth of the Roman Empire. No, I desire to come to you that I may impart some spiritual knowledge unto you, that I may impart some good doctrine to you, some working of the Holy Spirit of God, working in your life. And now he says, I want to go there, and however I get there, I can be sure of this, I'm coming in the power of the Spirit. Because I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't have money to pay the fare for a train ticket. I can't jump on an airplane. Of course, he wouldn't know what an airplane was, would he? And I can't get there. I'm not sure how I'm going to get there. He had little knowledge that God was going to work out the details to get him to Rome. Not the way he expected to, but he's going to get there. But he said one thing, I know for sure, when I come, I'm coming in the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to let the Spirit of God work in me. I want you to see the last couple of verses of this chapter, verse number 32. He said that I might come to you with what? Joy. It's hard to walk with God without having joy. And folks don't have joy, they don't have a song in their heart, they don't have a smile on their face, there's just something wrong. And a lot of folks serve the Lord out of duty. And when we're walking with God, it's a joyful thing to serve the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to walk with Him and to stay up at night and sing and to walk and just talk to Him and lift Him up and praise and bow before Him and worship. And by the will of God. God's going to work the details out. I don't know how He's going to work the details out. I think of a lot of personal illustrations I could use, but I'm just going to focus on the Apostle Paul tonight. If I get there, God's going to have to do it. And I can't do it on my own. And may with you be refreshed. I mentioned this morning a few folks that God allowed me to visit yesterday, and sometimes I wish I could just spend all day every day just go out visiting folks and praying with people and meeting people and would to God that God's people, the church, would seek to let's pray together, let's get together and just seek God in prayer. But everybody's schedule's busy, everybody's got things going on, and I know this that. Folks that you stop and take time to talk to them and don't say, I will pray about you. Instead say, let's pray right now. And all a wonderful time we had praying, with folks that, sometimes you're not sure if they're even believers or not, but there's something about praying with people and connecting with God, and you're doing it to be a blessing to them, but I guarantee it's more of a blessing to you than it can ever be to them. And I'm going to come that we might both be refreshed, because that's what happens when we walk with God. And now the God of peace be with you. The God of peace, my peace, I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. But my peace I give you. I will never leave you. And I think of the words of Jesus Christ when He introduced the Holy Spirit of God and even called Him not only the Comforter, but the Person of Peace, God's peace. My peace, my spirit I leave with you, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Hey, it doesn't matter if I come in a prison ship. Doesn't matter if I sit in a dungeon. I'm still going to sing unto the Lord. Paul gave us that example in the book of Acts, didn't he? And I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord always, like I said to the church in Philippi, which started in a prison cell. And they're still rejoicing, writing back to them and the hardships and the difficulties that they're suffering and the persecution that they're going through. He said, rejoice in all of that. And God will grant us peace. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Give God the right to change your directions through the Spirit of God. God's Spirit working in us. God's Spirit directing us. And God, of course, uses the Word of God. Paul had a lot of visions. Paul had a lot of direction. A man showed up to him in the middle of the night and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. He doesn't appear to us like that. Your wife may sit up in bed and chew you out or something. Is that the way I heard the story? Or whatever. God uses different circumstances, I know, but the primary way God works with us today is through the Word of God. And sometimes I'm struggling in my faith and my walk with Him, and I take to heart what Romans 10:17 says, that faith comes by hearing. The best thing I've found to do is just give yourself to the Word of God. Just sit down, listen, or read the Word of God, and just start pouring yourself into the Word of God. Let the Word of God pour into your heart, and God will begin to strengthen your faith. God will begin to direct you and transform you into what you ought to be, into His image. Give God the right to change your directions. And we certainly see this in Paul's life through dying to ourselves. I love the words that Paul said in Acts chapter number 9, where he was converted. He fell on his face and and was blinded and be led into the city by those that were with him, and didn't know what had happened to him, who was speaking to him. It was God, and Paul didn't know who was speaking to him, and he finally said, "Who art thou, Lord? Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Gave himself to God from the very beginning. God touched his heart and he said, "It's no longer my life, it's your life. It's all about you." Through death to ourselves, God will begin to work. But when we're focused on what we desire, what we dream, what we hope for and wish for, and I don't know about you, but that's a struggle with me. That's a struggle with all of us, if we're honest. But, well, I'd sure like to do this. And God says, I'll lead you. You just trust in me and follow me. And through prayer and seeking God in prayer, not only individually, but collectively, and asking God to do things through us and through His Spirit. Oh, let's let God change the direction. Let's let God do something. I get so burdened for this world today, for young people growing up in our world today that don't know what reality is. I mean, Disney has destroyed reality, but then we got social media. And then we've got the education system that confirms that there is no God. There's no God in heaven. You just evolved. And all the things that our world is facing, young people are facing today, it's no wonder they're a mess. It's no wonder they're killing each other and killing themselves. And the hopelessness and the helplessness of our world today, because there's no direction. Because God is not real to them. Let's make God real in our life. And let's pray and learn how to seek God together. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you will.